Moore. Open. Catch. Touchdown.
This is just so creative. It really is.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
He's not always the speed guy going around, but very often you'll see him give a little wiggle and go right through the tackle. He has that kind of power.
Fourth and one.
Was there a moment? 24, though.
I was thinking we need to score some points.
Yeah, weren't we all, Andy? And most of us weren't laughing at the time. Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. This is your favorite Chiefs podcast. And this is going to be a good one because we have something fun to talk about. But I got to be honest, Nick, I was mentally preparing myself for just one, like, 45-minute long, like, cathartic Wendy's commercial. After the Chiefs got down 24-0 in that game. Have you ever seen anything like the disaster that was unfolding there in the first quarter?
Yeah, I have.
What, the night before in Baltimore?
No, the 2013 wildcard game that I was physically on the sidelines for.
Yeah, you were catching passes from Alex that day, right?
I caught the one that bounced off the turf. Yeah. I really wish Cyrus Gray had caught that one, but you know what? I will forever live on with that one.
Didn't happen, and I will say there was that crick in my neck, like when they CBS put up the graphic late that said, "Hey, this is the fourth largest postseason comeback in NFL history." The second largest, of course, was when the Colts rallied from 38-10 to beat the Chiefs in that 2013 wild card game.
Yeah, I know. I was there, and I had to drive back through snow, 9 inches of snow in St. Louis along the way.
I was driving back the Oklahoma Department of Transportation. I was coming back from the Cotton Bowl where Missouri had beaten Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's right, because they played that Friday.
Yeah, that was the day before. Yeah. The day before, and Oklahoma State Department of Transportation had decided to restripe the lanes south of Oklahoma City on I-35. And so, you know, as 70,000 fans of those two teams are going right up 35 from Dallas, mm-hmm. We mostly just sat in traffic and cried about how there wasn't an exit with a Whataburger.
I remember watching that game from St. Elmo's. One of my favorite steakhouses in Indianapolis.
Oh, so was it on fire?
No. Technically, the grill was when they were cooking some of the steaks. You saw flames.
St. Elmo's fire. Very, very famous. Very famous.
Yes, I'm aware, but the steakhouse is also famous, too.
I know.
Where you run into a lot of people. I ran into a handful of people I've said hi to there before.
Speaking of Elmo, are you up for tickles after the Chiefs outscored the Texans 51-7?
No.
During the final three quarters. Well, three, you know.
I will literally never, ever be up for hugs and tickles from anybody, let alone a guy named Todd Palmer.
Well, Nick, then stop bringing up Elmo, okay?
You literally. Oh, my goodness, man. Look, all I know is we should have, like, a really big celebration. We can't go to Chuck E. Cheese because my niece doesn't work there anymore to get us a discount.
There's one by my house, though.
I'm thinking we could maybe.
They always have coupons.
We could really class up this divisional celebration and go to main event. But we're probably going to need your kids to go with us so it doesn't look suspicious that two grown men are there.
Which one, the Olathe one or the Independence one?
There's one up in the Northland.
Why? Okay. What about the Independence one? Because it's much closer to my house.
Of course it is. You're going to need to drive the 30 minutes.
This shows you
how Todd and I's dynamic is. Anything that helps his life be more convenient since he has a family and everything.
Yeah, no.
Whatever.
Pesky wife and kids.
I never use those words, okay? I love your family. They're great people.
So, I got to be honest. I'm usually an optimistic guy. I've been the guy on Twitter more than once when the Chiefs get down early or, you know, a team scored, you know, that says, look, it's the first quarter. Everybody relax. Be cautious. Whatever. I'm not usually the guy. I got to be honest. 24-0 early in the second quarter. I was doubting whether the Chiefs would win. I was thinking, oh, boy, this is going to add another sad sack chapter in the mostly sad sack history of the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason.
I mean, a lot of Chiefs fans, I was obviously nervous last
before
night.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This morning and today, and then whenever you saw that block punt happen, and here's the frustrating part, like, one, that block punt, the thing that irritated me about that is, like, week after week I'd been seeing on coaches film, like, that gap right there that they went through, like, I mean, teams have been doing loops, they've been doing twists, they've been doing everything to get to those interior A gaps.
Well, and you can't blame it on them attempting to a fake like in New England when they gave up an eerily similar block that almost cost him that game against the Patriots.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. It was everything that the Chiefs had struggled with this year at different points in the game, things they needed to correct, all of them were magnified in that first quarter of the playoff game. And the reality of it is, overall, I figured the Chiefs were going to have some jitters early on, and they were going to be slow out of the gate. That's why I was nervous about that first quarter, if they could withstand those punches that they were gonna go against, because most of the teams that have a week off, just like if somebody takes a week off from vacation and come, you know, from work and comes back, like you're out of sync and you're not in rhythm, and that's how a lot of teams were. Where the Texans had that issue the week before when they played the Bills in the wild card. I mean, it happened to a lot of teams that...
Hello, Baltimore Ravens, after 2 weeks off.
They had that issue, too. And for some of those players, it was 3 weeks, and that ended up being their downfall.
In the end, though, it was a lot of fun. The Chiefs scored on an NFL record 8 consecutive possessions. Once it got going, the game ended up being the game that we expected. The Chiefs were the better team. Their defense had improved enough to make a difference against Deshaun Watson in that running game, which wasn't as strong now as it was in week 6. And the defense wasn't going to be able to stop the Chiefs from scoring. The game ended up being what we thought it was. It just didn't happen the way we thought it was. But let's hear from Mr. Andy Reid and Mr. Patrick Mahomes about that comeback.
And I thought, as a group, man, played really well. Great mindset game. So the guys had their mind set for a battle, and they put it down. And when you're down 24-0, you know, if you don't have a good locker room, things can go the wrong way for you. And the guys all hung together, and we've talked about the strength of it, and they did a great job, along with our fans. I thought our fans were tremendous. So nobody out there gave up, and they all stayed and cheered us on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we didn't want to be in that spot, but the biggest thing that I think I was preaching to the team was, let's go do something special. Let's go do something special. Everybody's already counting us out. Let's just go play by play and just put our best effort out there. And, I mean, obviously I knew as a team we had to kind of – everything had to go the right way, but I thought the defense stepped up, special teams stepped up. Offensively, we started making the plays we weren't making, and play by play, we just chipped away at that lead and got the half and came out the second half and kept firing.
And look, Nick, this is where leadership matters. This is where Patrick Mahomes, you know, talking to the guys about let's do something special matters. This is where having guys like Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu, and then like you mentioned during the preview podcast for this game, this is where having coaches who've been there, done that matters. Coaches who've won Super Bowls, played for Super Bowls before matters, because the Chiefs didn't panic. Now the Texans didn't either, even once the Chiefs took the lead back. But at that point, it didn't matter because the Chiefs are the better football team.
Yeah, and the other thing that I would say in the grand scheme of it is, the Chiefs have faced a lot of adversity this year. And that's what, in my opinion, that's what got them through this divisional game. Whenever Mahomes got hurt, whenever the defense was really struggling there for the first 6 to 7 games of the season, and whenever they had some issues on offense in the red zone, some special teams issues throughout the year, penalties, everything that they had go against them throughout the year, they were able to overcome those. And just like today, the early panic that everybody had on social media about how big of a loss Chris Jones was going to be. And I knew whenever they went down 24-0, I knew people were going to try to make it as Chris Jones was the missing piece. But the Chiefs came back. They were resilient. They dominated when they needed to, especially in that second half and that second quarter as well. So, I mean, the Chiefs, I think what's been so unique for this team is that they've been through a lot of adversity this year, more so than I think they have in other years and in other games, to where they've really had to dig deep. In this game, they had to. And in some ways, this game reminds me of, like you and I kind of talked about and I put on Twitter, the Chiefs looked similar to the Royals in that Astros
game four
whenever they're down in Houston there.
I think it was game 5 ALCS, wasn't it?
Yeah, I went and double-checked ALDS. It was game 4 in Houston, because game 5 they came back and blew them out for that one. I thought the same thing, too, and then I had to go back and double-check.
But, yeah, they were down
6-2.
Correa makes the error, and then, you know.
And then they kept the line moving.
Beautiful thing was, it was Houston both times.
I know. That's what I feel like the bet. And then Houston Dynamos
have had Dynamo.
Yeah, no, I know. I was struggling.
There's no S.
I was struggling.
I can tell.
Thanks. But, I mean, you know, they've had their issues with supporting Kansas City, too. So, I mean, I think the town...
Well, the 2013 team...
Just frustrated by
The Sporting KC had lost, had been eliminated from Houston in the playoffs the previous 2 years. And then 2013, on their way to the MLS Cup, they had to come back in the second leg, I believe, to defeat the Dynamo in advance. So, good omen... for the Chiefs, good on for the Chiefs as far as Super Bowl hopes, because they've already checked off that win against Houston, which apparently in the last decade or so is a critical component of you know, Houston's heartbreak is now Kansas City's game.
So the AFC South Revenge Tour is now 1-0 in the playoffs.
It won't get the Colts, though. So, hey, everybody, just for fun, let's relive the disaster that was the first quarter. So, you know, it starts off with, you know, Houston gets the coin toss, takes the ball, not surprised. I think they knew that they couldn't afford to get behind and let the Chiefs get off to a fast start. So they go do what they did. The Chiefs' defense has not been great on first drives. I mean, if think back all the way to the Broncos game, which was, I think, the first game where that defense flexed a little bit and you started to see it come together. I mean, Denver goes right down the field on him. There were some penalties, but Denver goes right down the field on him, scores a touchdown to go up 6-0, and then, of course, the Chiefs blow him out the rest of the way. But the Chiefs have had these moments where the opening drive of games, they struggle. They blew a coverage, but I think you just give a lot of credit to Bill O'Brien. You know, they were in man. They didn't pass it off very well. Sorensen and Charvarius Ward both bit up Will Fuller there, and nobody accounted for Kenny Stills, and they blew it. And then you have the drop by Kelsey, then you have the block punt for a touchdown, then you have the drop by DeMarcus Robinson, who had about as awful a first half as a wide receiver can have. And then the defense finally gets a stop, and Tyreek Hill muffs the punt inside the six, and all of a sudden it's 21-0. You know, the offense still can't get anything going. And then they end up tacking on that field goal. But I honestly thought that 4th-and-1 decision by Bill O'Brien was where the game turned. But first, Nick, what were you feeling down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter? I mean, did you think that the Chiefs were really going to be able to come back in this one?
The first thing I'm going to say is that in terms of that first touchdown they gave up, I knew the Texans were going to try to do this. And one, they were trying to test out how they were going to defend without Juan Thornhill out there and how they're going to do deep against that. Second thing, and the Texans did this in the first game, they tested out the Chiefs in their pattern matching.
Yeah.
So they gave that screen. They did the screen earlier in that drive drive before. Then they went back to it, and they were trying to see if Charvarius, how he would do when he saw that motion, if he would think that was going to be the number one threat and take that. And then Tyron, and see how Tyron, Sorensen, and them all did together, knowing that Thornhill's not in Sorensen's spot, to be able to go back deep and to be able to cover Fuller if that happens. So I think personally that they were testing out the pattern matching overall to see how the Chiefs were going to defend that. And they knew they could get them early if they were going to. So they took that opportunity.
Yeah. But again, I wasn't panicking after that one. I wasn't even panicking as from a fan perspective after Kelsey drops the ball. You know, the special teams play. I thought, all right, you know, the Chiefs still have this. If you go down and score and get a stop, it's all good. When Tyreek muffed the punt, and all of a sudden it's 21-0, I was like, oh man, this could just go down as, you know, one of the grossest playoff games in Chiefs history. I was like, it honestly felt like the Chiefs had forgotten there was a game that day.
They were jittery, and they lacked a lot of focus there offensively there to start out the game, and then in special teams they had their hiccups, and everything that the Texans had seen on tape got magnified there in terms of how to attack the Chiefs' weaknesses. So the Chiefs learned this week what weaknesses teams were attacking based on the coach's film. So then the Chiefs had to. What I was curious to see, and I mean, I'm not going to say I was thrilled. I'm never thrilled if I see a mistake in general. I get irritated by it. I mean, but the thing I wanted to see is, okay, once I got that first explosive play, that first touchdown, how would they respond then? That's what I was more kind of curious to see, if they would be able to give back a counterpunch body blow. And then once they did, I was like, all right. You know, and then you just kind of focus on each drive and go from there. So, I mean, I know the Chiefs are explosive and they're capable of doing it. The Chiefs were able to reinvent themselves in this game, in my opinion.
I really thought that the game turned on Bill O'Brien's decision up 21-0 to go for the... They burned a couple timeouts and ultimately decided to go for a field goal on 4th-and-1. I think if the Texans go for it there and end up powering it into the end zone and go up 28-0. I mean, look, maybe everything from that point on plays out exactly as it did and the Chiefs win. But I think that that would have sent a message and that would have been even more deflating. I mean, you were already starting to hear some boos in Arrowhead with the way things had gone. If it's 28-0, I think it's different. But instead, once they got a field goal, it was almost like the Chiefs were drowning. And keeping them out of the end zone and getting that field goal was the first time they finally had made it back up to the surface and could get a gasp of air. And I felt like it gave them a toehold in the game. And then much like in the Chargers game in the regular season finale, Mecole Hardman had that 58-yard kickoff return. And then I think that's the drive where he had the DPI on Kelsey. They get the touchdown. And all of a sudden when it's 24-7, you're thinking, okay. And then Dan, big play Dan, big play Dan came through. I mean, because then I think not going far on the fourth and one play, I think Bill O'Brien realized it was a mistake. And then when they're near midfield on fourth and four and the Chiefs have the momentum coming off the score, he gets desperate. He does decide to run a fake and go for it this time. Incredible play by Daniel Sorensen to get that stop there.
Yeah, I mean, my irritation with Bill O'Brien on that is, if you're willing to, and I don't think you're wrong in what he ended up doing, but my thing is, you go all in the entire time if you're going to do it. Like, I mean, if that's what you're going to do, then do it. Because the thing that irritated me about it was, like, I'm like, okay, so you kicked a field goal there when you should have gone for it, and then now you're doing this deep in your own territory, which I think was no matter what anybody
said. Huge mistake.
I think it was an awful idea to give the Chiefs a short field like that with where it was up on the – how much time was remaining. It's like, man, you just gave them a short field. They do this. They're within striking distance, you know, at that point to where they're within 10. And I thought it was an awful idea. I would never do it as a coach, personally, if I was in that realm, but – he was willing to do that then. And then Sorensen, like you said, I mean, Sorensen, think about the Patriots AFC Championship game last year. He came with the huge tackle on fourth and one. He had the interception whenever Edelman bobbled that one. And you know, Sorensen, I mean, he just shows
he
up.
He batted the ball away in Mexico City against the Chargers earlier this year.
I'm just saying, from playoffs, he made some defining plays. So
he shows up, man. And then I apologize. It was the next drive that Kelsey had the defensive pass interference. All of a sudden, it's 24-14.
No. I think that there was multiple ones. I think that DPI. Yeah, I remember that one with Lonnie Johnson.
But now it's 24-14, and then Sorensen again with the forced fumble on the ensuing kickoff. All of a sudden, it's 24-21, and at that point, I felt like. I was like, well, that's it. It's over. I mean, you've blown a 24-point lead before halftime, and now I just felt like Patrick Mahomes and that offense were just gonna step on their necks the rest of the game, and they did.
Yeah, and that's what this football team's kind of needed. Because one thing I was kind of curious about whenever that ball popped into Darwin Thompson's hands, I'm like.
And he stopped running.
I'm like, are you going to start running? I mean, it'd be cool if you started running here, man. I mean, obviously Kelsey and Damian Williams benefited from those opportunities to get touchdowns. But it was like, I'm like, all right, man, start running. Like, I know you're surprised to see the football too as I am, but man, run to the end zone, go for it.
That was the most incredible sequence. But got to give, I think it's O'Brien's indecision on those fourth and one plays, Mecole Hardman, and then. Patrick Mahomes is a killer, and Patrick Mahomes made him pay in those moments. But let's hear from Patrick Mahomes about the impact Daniel Sorensen made, particularly on that fake punt stop.
Obviously, we had scored the touchdown, and then we got the stop, and they went for the fake, and Sorensen made a heck of a play, making a one-on-one tackle right there and getting them short, and then we scored pretty quickly. I think it was two plays after that, and so to kind of chip into that lead and make it kind of a two-possession game at that point, we knew that we kind of were in range, and then as the momentum kept going, we just kept going and scoring one play at a time.
And the thing I'll say, Todd, off that, was Patrick Mahomes talking about Daniel Sorensen's big play and how that helped them keep the line moving. No, the thing I was gonna say is like for the Chiefs needed to have this game in some regards because they needed to know how to put the pedal down and not stop. And this is the first game I've seen them when it mattered to where they put the pedal down and they were relentless for the rest of the game and said, no, you are not coming back. We are not giving you hope ever again. It's over.
It's funny you say that because you and I talked before the game about, and I told you one of my fears was they would get a lead Andy Reid would take his foot off the pedal, and all of a sudden you'd find yourself in a fight. Because we saw that happen. I mean, think back to the Baltimore Ravens game in Week 3. Yeah. The Chiefs had that game in hand, took their foot off the pedal. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden it's 33-28. Baltimore's got a legitimate chance to win that football game. You know, you saw it at other times. The Titans game is another example of a time when they had the game in control. And you know, when they're up 29-20 early in the fourth quarter, they kind of got out of what had gotten them to that point. They didn't make that mistake in this playoff game. Right. They just kept powering through, and the Texans were demoralized by the end.
Yeah, the Texans, once the Chiefs took a 28-24 lead at that point, you could see it in their body language. I mean, they were just like, what happened? Where did anybody get the license plate of that quarterback?
No, I mean, look, he for the second time this year, he threw four touchdowns in the second quarter.
Well, what's so amazing about two of his touchdowns that he had to I believe they were both to Kelce.
Three of them were.
Well, but I'm saying on the two that I remember offhand, he took it all the way to the sideline, just like that Robinson one against the Chargers last year in the Thursday night football game. Took it all the way to the boundary to where defenders in both games, whether it's a Chargers one last year or this one, gave up on the play, gave up on the coverages, and still took it and took advantage of it till the bitter end to where they when they relaxed, he was still laser focused and threw both those touchdowns to Kelce.
And even more impressive, the first one he's running to the right. And the second one, he was running to the left, to the left sideline, and that's the one where he had to drag his toe. I swear, and I even tweeted it when I watched it. I was like, he was over the line. Play's getting caught back.
I saw that toe drag, and I was like, oh, that clever quarterback.
Well, I had to rewind it. Even when I rewinded it, when I looked at to see it released, I thought he was already over the line. It wasn't until I went back a third time to look at it, and then I was like, oh my God, no, he actually
he knew what he was doing right there. People are underestimated, but he knew.
Vintage Mahomes magic.
Like, I mean, that one to me, the way he drug his back foot like that, like he's a receiver catching a pass to stay in bounds, people are not gonna appreciate that enough. But I'm telling you, that dude, I find that pass even more impressive than his left-handed pass to Tyreek.
Oh, I mean, I just hope Kansas City fans, and look, they've been quarterback star for a generation or more. I hope people don't take this for granted and appreciate what you're seeing, because it's not. I mean, it's uncommon and in some ways unprecedented in the history of the NFL, the things he can do. But the other thing is, as impressive as all that was, the 8-play, 90-yard drive to actually take the lead going into halftime, 28-24. I mean, he goes 3-6 for 45 yards, especially now that he's two rushes for 35 yards. And to me, but you know, especially knowing you get the ball coming at a halftime, to not only claw back into the game, but then to take the lead at halftime. So the Texans have to sit there. Because, you know, if you're still up 24-21, you can say, listen, things didn't go as well as we hoped, but we're still ahead in this football game, guys. Nobody gave us, you know, you can kind of restart the rally cry. Once you've blown a 24-point lead, I think at that point, you're the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. You're a piece of bread that just popped up in the toaster. I mean, you know, it's over.
Hey, I was just happy they're in the positioning converted. Because, I mean, I knew if they could get up to the 28 right there, I was like, okay, they're going to come out in the second half. They'll make their adjustments. They got a good feel on what the Texans are doing. And the Texans' secondary, how much they've struggled in their pass rush really wasn't there. They were worn out by that by the first couple series. And then I was like, okay, they just come back, score a touchdown after halftime, and they'll be gold at that point.
So. And that's exactly what they did. Kareemi Fairbairn misses the field goal going into halftime, so they didn't get any momentum
and
there.
And then Bucker missed the extra point.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. I was like, that side of the end zone's cursed.
But that was, I mean, you know, the Chiefs come out of halftime with all that momentum. They go 7 plays, 85 yards. Mahomes goes 3-3 for 63 yards. He has two rushes for another 21 yards. Ends up going on to be the first player in NFL history with a 300 yards passing, including 5 passing touchdowns, and at least 50 yards rushing, in any playoff game in the history of ever. Not too shabby for a kid who's still not 25.
Look, I mean, the thing about Patrick is, man, I mean, he's like Lamar Jackson, and he's like Deshaun Watson, and this is what I'm excited about to watch these quarterbacks down the road here is – those three guys don't give up. Like, they're relentless. It didn't matter if they're down 21 or they're down 42 or whatever. Those guys just don't quit. They keep trying to battle back to put their team in a position to win. So, I mean, that's what I love about all three of those quarterbacks and why I think the AFC West is in really good hands for quite some time.
Yeah,
or
right.
AFC in general, not just the AFC West.
Yeah, yeah.
AFC,
well, it's positive and negative because you probably haven't seen the last Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes playoff game, and probably going to see some more clashes between Watson and some clashes between Watson and Jackson and Mahomes and Jackson down the stretch. And you know there are going to be times when one of those guys probably get the better of the Chiefs from year to year. But this year, you know, now it's Patrick Mahomes against Ryan Tannehill, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I feel better about that matchup than I would Lamar Jackson or having to face Deshaun Watson again.
Yeah, it's just the mobile quarterbacks and the options. It's I'm telling you, man. I mean, I was nervous if they had to go against both of us in back to back weeks because it was going to be a tough road.
Although I did like it this way, going Watson to Jackson, because I think it's kind of you get a chance to see the light version of the running quarterback. And then you get to see the guy who's a little bit faster and a little bit more likely to just gash you with the run.
You're not wrong about it, but at the same time, the one thing that I will say is the Ravens, what makes them so unique and why I think the Chiefs defense was going to have trouble with them personally is they're one of the few teams that can blend power and finesse.
Yeah.
To where they can run the power run game, but they can run finesse in both pass and run. So I think the Chiefs are really going to have a difficult matchup in that AFC Championship game.
Guess what? Doesn't matter. And hey, I want to talk about something that I think is getting overlooked in this game when we come back here in the B Block.
News, your home of the Chiefs.
When winter weather strikes, it can make life difficult, sometimes even dangerous. Our job as meteorologists is to track everything going on around you, minute by minute, 24/7, on every screen.
Right now, we're tracking those icy road conditions.
This winter, trust us to bring you Kansas City's most accurate forecast, keeping you safe when it matters most. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs.
Hi, that's me.
There was no Wendy's required during that break.
Do you want to hear a fun fact that I put on Twitter?
I love fun facts.
The Chiefs are 1-0 in the playoffs when I'm named station champion.
Oh, that's true. I haven't even brought it up. I was going to tweet a picture of the lantern next to your desk or see if I could get I could get a picture.
Already took your thunder, bro.
Well, but I wanted a picture of you holding it and then putting your hand up over your eyes as if to shield them from the sun, as if you were looking off into the distance at the future of what station championship awesomeness looks like.
Well, the problem is if you need a lantern, that means it's you know, it's not.
You're lighting the way, Nick Jacobs. You are lighting the way.
Glass half full. I love it.
All right. Hey, one thing I think that is underappreciated about this game, you know, special teams is obviously an abject disaster to start, but then special teams, whether it was Hardman's return or Daniel Sorensen's, fumble created on that kickoff return, ends up helping to turn the game. We know about the offense struggling and then getting it going. I don't think the defense is getting enough credit for the way, you know, things went. I mean, they gave up that long opening drive, but the next three drives combined, it was an 8-play 29-yard drive, a 2-play 6-yard drive after the muffed punt, and then a 9-play 38-yard drive. So, yeah, the Texans got 10 points out of that, but the Chiefs' defense, after giving up, I think it was 8-play 75, 76 yards off the top, it was 19 plays, 73 yards. The defense was doing its job. You could tell that the defense had a decent game plan, and if they could just stop shooting themselves in the foot, they were probably going to be okay. Do you think that the way that defense adjusted and the way they shut things down the last three quarters is getting enough attention?
It won't. It'll be about the it'll be about how the
eight straight scoring touch. Yeah, whatever.
It's going to be all about the offense, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. I'm just saying
they were pretty good.
No, I'm just saying that's going to be overlooked. But I mean, like the reality is, if you look at last year's Chiefs defense, I mean, they don't make some of those stops. You know that the Chiefs defense was able to make this year. They don't make those adjustments, and they get torched all game long by Watson and Hyde, and those things don't happen. And it shows you how far the Chiefs have come collectively as a team, whether it's defense, offense. or resiliency from that week five or six game. I think it was week six.
Yeah, week six when they played the Texans the first time. Yep.
I mean, you know, Texans still technically scored 31 in that game, and I get that, but two were based off special teams blunders in my personal opinion.
What?
But my point is defensively they made the necessary adjustments, learning from that first game to attack what they needed to. But man, I'm telling you, Tyron Matthew and Frank Clark and Terrell Suggs, what those guys were doing out there is going to go beyond underappreciated.
I think you and I both were in agreement. If you can only have one, Chris Jones or Travis Kelce, we wanted Chris Jones. Or sorry, we wanted Travis Kelce, yeah, Kelce 7 out of 7 times,
yeah,
right?
You want Kelce. You need all the weapons on that offense to make him unstoppable. And now, here I will say this on the podcast now. People were asking all my Twitter mentions throughout the day, and I just didn't want to deal with the mentions on that one if I said what I was going to. Here's the reality.
Here we go.
I thought that Jones being out was actually going to help them in some regards. It was obviously going to hurt in his ability to penetrate quickly, so Watson didn't have time to look downfield, obviously. But Jones kind of likes to freelance and do his own thing, so there was going to be times where he was going to give up a massive rush lane, and you were probably going to need to keep like a Dorian O'Daniel or somebody else in to kind of be there with the running back but also a spy to cover that lane that may have been given up. Because you saw how Watson just kept moving around, kept moving around. If I was a Texas fan,
it was like
fan,
a gnat. You just had to reach out and reach it, like swat him off your TV screen.
But I would have been so furious because he keeps moving around the pocket instead of just bailing out, get away from all the anarchy, and you know. But the Chiefs did what I talked about in the game plan,
That's what I was going to say.
You
could see that they made a concerted effort.
Number one on the article
to get upfield and not let him escape outside the pocket.
Right, it's so crucial with him because man, he will drop his eyes. He will try to move around and then he will look back up again.
But he's lost. Especially if guys go into scramble drill,
right.
He's lost the field at that point. He doesn't know where his receivers are.
And that's why he held on to the football as long as he did. And what the Chiefs secondary did, and I'll start doing it on Jacob's Eye in the Sky to show later this week, for as much as they had to cover, they deserve a medal. Because I'm telling you, people won't be able to truly appreciate how much ground those guys covered and how long they had to cover some of the receivers with the way he kept trying to buy time in the pocket.
Well, I think
Frank Clark, relentless, man.
That's what I was going to say. There were 2 points I was just like. One was Tyron Matthew, once again, can't hold on to interceptions, which is sometimes maddening. But because that one in the end zone.
He almost had two. Almost jumped for the pick six.
Yeah, I know. But look, I'll still. Honey Badger can play for my team anytime. But there was one play where he was following Kute or somebody up the seam. And then they tried to throw underneath.
It's cute. It's QT.
Cutie?
Just like
the oranges?
No. QT. It's like QT. Quick Trip? Just like Quick Trip.
Okay. Maybe it was Stills. He was falling up the seam. And then they tried to bring Hopkins underneath. Mm-hmm. And he broke off and got the PBU on it. It was an incredible play. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of play that that certainly doesn't get made last year.
Right.
And it got the Chiefs off the field. It's mm-hmm. the kind of play that last year, that drive is extended, and that game is potentially extended as a result. But there was one play in particular where Frank Clark gets upfield. Watson was going to try to bail to the right, but he kept pushing up and didn't let him have that escape route. Then he took a step back down so Watson couldn't bail out. Mm-hmm. So Watson stepped forward. Frank Clark almost got him again from behind. He somehow wriggled out of it, and then Watson keeps moving around. And then somehow Frank Clark, on the third bite at the apple, finally got the sack. That man was absolutely relentless today, and it made all the difference in the world, you know, I think, with the way that defense ultimately performed.
Now imagine down the road here if the Chiefs are able to find some more rushers like that, and you have 3 or 4 of those guys that have that type of athletic ability and that type of mentality that Frank Clark
can't afford it. Can't afford it.
You can't draft wise.
Yeah, I was gonna say you need to. Yeah. Brett Veach is gonna have to be on
but
point.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what they brought Frank Clark in for, to be that guy and to rub off on players that way.
And I know that people were frustrated at the beginning of the season. And I know that people didn't understand that Frank Clark was injured, and he talked about how he was maybe 50% back in Week 6 and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I hope that you listen to the podcast. I hope you listen to Nick and I talk about all season, because we were never off the Frank Clark bandwagon. It's in terms of what he brought with an attitude, with an ability to set the tone, with an ability to set the edge and play the run. And I think you and I had confidence that the pass rush would be there eventually.
Yeah.
When he was healthy and when he settled in, the pass rush was going to be there. And we're seeing it. We're seeing why the Chiefs were willing to trade a first-round pick and bet the farm that this was the guy they needed and not Dee Ford.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Frank Clark is he's one of your tempo setters, and I hope people someday appreciate what that guy is able to bring to the table.
So let's hear from Bill O'Brien real quick, because I think Bill O'Brien knew coming to this one that they were in trouble when you listen to his comment here, because the Chiefs defense, it wasn't happening this year with this Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I mean, 24-0 was a really good lead, like no doubt about it, but I don't think any lead is safe versus these guys, and that's why we felt like we needed 50 points, and we weren't able to do that.
That was Bill O'Brien. Look, man, I'm just going to put it this way. If you go into an NFL game as a head coach thinking, if we score 50, we've got a chance, you probably don't really have a chance.
You got to be glass half full, okay? That's the way you got to look at it there, Ted.
If we can just score 50 points, we could win this game.
We got a really good chance, man, I'm telling you. If we can score 71 in a game, we are going to win if we can break the NFL scoring record. Right.
All right, well, it wasn't 76-0, but it was a big win. We're going to set the table for next week and check your tweets on the other side of this break.
News, your home of the Chiefs.
When winter weather strikes, it can make life difficult, sometimes even dangerous. Our job as meteorologists is to track everything going on around you, minute by minute, 24/7, on every screen.
Right now, we're tracking those icy road conditions.
This winter, trust us to bring you Kansas City's most accurate forecast, keeping you safe when it matters most. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And will wonders never cease, Nick? First of all this, thank you, Ryan Fitzpatrick. The game today would have been played in New England. New England would have had the bye were it not for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then that set the stage for the Red Hot Titans to go into New England, upset them. The Red Hot Titans to go into Baltimore, upset them. And now the Chiefs, I guess, are on upset watch, because it's going to be the Titans coming to Arrowhead. So a franchise that had never hosted an AFC championship game in history will now host in back-to-back seasons. I'd also point out it's the first two seasons they've had Patrick Mahomes as their starting quarterback. Patrick Mahomes has never had a season in which he didn't host an AFC championship game as a starter.
True story. Back to back.
But I think a lot of people are really scared of this matchup. I mean, you think back to they lost 35-32 on November 10th in Nashville. And Derrick Henry is just, I mean, he's making opposing defenses roadkill. And these are some good defenses. Like, I mean, New England had a pretty good defense. I know they had their issues with the run, but New England was still a good defense. The Baltimore Ravens were a good defense. And it's not like he's just kind of casually beating him. He's bludgeoning them for 180 game after game after game. By the way, had 188 against the Chiefs back in that November meeting in Nashville. Just preliminary thoughts on the matchup with the Titans.
The thing with the Titans is, one, I'm going to make a terrible joke here, but I do remember them.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the Titans.
Do you remember what your Wendy's order was after that game?
It's always the number 6. I need it spicy on the sad days.
How many did you get?
I did get one. I'm not an animal here, sir.
Okay.
Let's not be.
I just didn't know.
Let's not be rude.
I didn't know how many feelings you had to eat that day.
You know what? There's only one feeling, and it's sadness.
Sad, yeah. Despondence.
Yeah, something like that. Sadness, $5 worth. Cha-ching. No, I mean, here's the thing about the Titans. The Titans are the throwback to Marty Ball, to the Washington Washington Redskins whenever they played back in the late 80s.
John Riggins.
This is a team that's an old-school smash-mouth football team.
Yeah.
And they're a physical football team, and they want to run the ball. And they want to put Derrick Henry 7 to 10 yards back behind the line of scrimmage, let the offensive line road grade, double team, get second level, run people over for four quarters, throw in some play-action passes with A.J. Brown and with Humphreys, and then just make it just relentlessly go after a team. And Evans is he's done a really good job for the Titans in the past 2 weeks at linebacker.
Yeah, Rashawn Evans is playing incredible.
Jarrell Casey's awesome in the interior. So, I mean, the Chiefs are going to have their work cut out for them. It's not going to be an easy game next week. But really what you're getting, and this is what I was concerned about the Ravens, have a blend of finesse and power, but they're not dominant of either one of them. The Titans are dominant at the physical power type of game. The Chiefs are dominant at the finesse game. So this is kind of which one is going to win out in the AFC Championship game. And we'll see what happens with the NFC Championship game because, I mean, there's also that opportunity as well. So, I mean, this is kind of this is going to be an interesting football game. And Derrick Henry, the number one thing I can tell you in advance right now, you want to run him towards the sidelines because he needs a full steam of speed, so that's where that 5-10 yards where you want him to get going, so he's at full strength and full speed so he can just mash people over.
Yeah, run him to the sidelines and then hit those thighs as often as possible. Like, take some steam out, because if you let this game stay close into the fourth quarter, Derrick Henry will run you right over.
Yeah, the Titans won't stop. They won't care. No, they'll keep running it.
No. It's not like the Colts last year where they will abandon all hope and all principle when they get down early in the game. This Titans team, well, you saw it in the game. I mean, that was a 4-5 Titans team that was desperate to try to salvage their season at that point. And they just, even though they were down, you know, by two scores, they never went away from Derrick Henry. They just kept doing what they do. And, you know, it's like Novocaine, I mean, the defense might as well have been asleep by the end of it.
Yep. So, Todd, next time for another edition of Trick Tweets.
Are we doing that?
We are doing
that. Oh, okay.
I'll ask the first one for you, Todd. First one's going to be for you from Steven. He asked, who gets the game ball? Mahomes, Kelce, Clark, Williams, or Sorensen?
You know what? I've got to give a little bit to Bill O'Brien for his fourth down decisions, because I don't think that it would have been possible for the Chiefs to pull it off. But honestly, it's Daniel Sorensen, I think. You know, the two biggest plays of the game, or two of the biggest plays of the game, I think, were his stop on the fake punt and then forcing that fumble on special teams. Those two plays... I'm not sure the Chiefs win the football game without those two plays. So hats off to Daniel Sorensen.
All right, Todd, it's time for your question.
All right, my man Cooper wants to know, how many heart attacks was too many heart attacks to have in the first quarter? Follow-up question, was 4 heart attacks and a stroke and possibly wetting myself too many?
If you have one of any of those things, you should probably go see your doctor as soon as possible.
I would
go to the emergency.
Visit urgent care, please, Coop.
That's all I can tell you on that one.
All right.
So, Todd, your next question is going to be from Chiefs KC23. He asked, are we going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I thought they were at the beginning of the season, and I think it's all...
I believe you had them going 16-0 prediction.
No, I think I had them 14-2. But
I thought you had them 16-0.
No, I had them 14-2. I had them going 14-0, and then I had them losing to the Bears on Sunday night, and then I had them resting their starters the last game because they already had...
I'm thinking of Pete Sweeney. He had him going 16-0.
I'm a little taller than him, and I wear less glasses.
But are you a baller like Pete Sweeney?
Okay.
Okay.
You've clearly never gone to Coleman Park in Raytown.
I can't say that I have.
It's not like, I mean, there's not a statue there for me, but I mean, I assume it's coming one day.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure Raytown's got that in the parks budget and everything.
I mean, it probably would already be there, but you know, the tax base is eroding there, you know, industry's leaving.
So
it's a tough time.
Final question.
Well, this one I find interesting. Kyle Coffey wants to know, was that the most Chiefs thing ever?
I mean, the first part of it where they had their struggles and they they've made a lot of fans in the stands and across the United States, UK, Australia, and Canada, and all the places that listen to us. Yeah, I'm sure they made them all very nervous there at one point, and everybody's frustrated, and everybody had had those memories over the years, and you're like, not again. I'd been excited all year, not going to wait till next year. And then they did something they hadn't done pre-Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick basically pulled an LL Cool J and says, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, Bill O'Brien's mama knocked out.
I hope not.
Mama said knock you out.
I hope not, because that would be a crime.
No, that would. No, it would be. I don't think, for the record, I don't think Patrick Mahomes hits moms. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
So that's all for this edition of Check the Tweets before Todd gets himself in even more trouble.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, that song came out, Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J, came out in, you were in elementary school, I think?
I was either at Dobbs or Fox Hill Elementary.
What school, what kicks were you rocking?
This is going to sound, I'm going to embarrass myself right now, but I'm completely fine with it. I was technically lighting the way with those shoes that had the, they had the little lights in the back of them when you'd step.
Yeah.
I thought those were outstanding.
You should bring those back for the Super Bowl, for like a Super Bowl look.
I don't think they make those anymore.
Super Bowl Media Day.
Definitely not in my size.
Super Bowl Media Day, Nick Jacobs with light up shoes. And we can find something else garish for you to wear.
It's a solid pass for me. Plus, I highly doubt I'm going to be at the Super Bowl. I'll be editing Sky Center.
Well, a boy can dream.
Keep dreaming, pal.
All right. Well, hey.
I'm going to live here in reality, personally.
All right, all right. Well, hey, hope you guys enjoyed this this edition of 4th and 1. We will, of course, be back later in the week to break down what we expect
for another football matchup
with the Titans. Yeah.
We don't have to talk about the offseason yet. This is glorious.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't have to talk about the Senior Bowl yet or any of that stuff.
Yeah, hopefully, if the Chiefs can keep this train rolling, we won't have to have a breakdown of the Pro Bowl and who's most likely to, give Chiefs back-to-back Pro Bowl MVPs.
Keep the line moving, Todd.
All right. My prediction for next week already. Titans 17, Chiefs 38.
Oh, wow. You did not actually do your normal thing.
Did not disappoint.
So, until next time, I bid you adieu.
Take care, kids.
All right. Time's yours.